Well, first of all, I would like to say that I feel honored that I was being invited by the ISB to give that presentation. And also, I'm honored that all of you take the time to participate to a rather, I would say, difficult standard. The presentation is based on an EBI working paper. EBI stands for European Banking Institute. You can look it up if you like on their respective website. I'd like to go briefly through the agenda, but before I start with the classification effects and then go to the impairment effects year end to year end, and then a kind of a combination of impairment and classification effects with regard to CET1, which is a regulatory part, and the equity effects. I would like to say that the setting of the empirical study, the starting point was to say that, as I'm also a member of the European Banking Authority Banking Stakeholder Group, it might be interesting to have a closer look into these directly supervised banks by the ECB. The cutoff date was the 1st of March in 2019, and the setting was based on 117 banks. Unfortunately, we had to reduce our setting, for example, due to the fact that some of the banks did not publish their reports at the end of May 2019. It was at the end of May, I have to say, 12 banks, and also due to the fact that some of the banks, they just have to apply local GAAP. So the final sample that I'm presenting you now is consisting of 78 institutions. It comes from many, many different countries, but the setting, when we talk about the country specifics, then we focus more or less on Germany as one country with 12 banks being included, on Spain with 11 banks being included, on France with 8 banks being included, and Italy with 7 banks being included. And the other countries, they usually do have a number of banks, which is not so interesting to focus directly on one or two or some of them, some more. So the classification effect comes first. I'm starting with maybe here IR39, and you can directly see here from the graph that there basically are three quite important categories that have been loans and receivables at amortized cost, held for trading at fair value through profit or loss, and loans and available for sale here. And when we look upon that, we will go a little bit deeper into the country effect. But when we compare that with IFRS 9, that's something that is relatively interesting. So you can see here on that side that there is amortized cost, yeah, the majority, and it is approximately the same as loans and receivable has been before. So that is one part. And then we can also see that here, fair value through profit or loss is about 20, a little bit more than 20%. And the last category, which is really important, is that with regard to fair value through OCI, consisting of debt instruments. And these three categories, they are almost 99% of all of the financial instruments. So we can already see here that the other categories, they don't play a major role. Yeah, so it is really less than 1%, 0.2% of the banks use this fair value through OCI for equity instruments. And I will come back to that because it was a political debate going on whether we need it or whether we don't need it. I will come back to that category. And only 17 banks used this fair value option. So the fair value option itself. And I will come to some of the figures a little bit later. Here we can see the movements, and it is rather expected it was that loans and receivables, yeah, the majority of the category loans and receivables would go to amortized costs, and we can see that was actually also the case. And the same for held for trading, where the majority, 99% of the category was distributed to fair value through profit or loss. That was also foreseeable. We can see here the fair value option, that the majority of the fair value option then went to fair value through profit or loss. That's also quite, I would say, quite an interesting point. And 11% went to fair value through OCI regarding the debt instruments. Well, what we can also here see, just briefly, 65% were loans and receivables. Held to maturity, just 0.2%, so it did not play a role in the previous standard at all. 23.2% were held for trading, and the fair value option was just about 2.4% and available for sale 8.6%. When you see other here, I have to say that not all of the information that we needed were shown, but don't worry, it ended up in just 0.6%, so it is really not something that has to be mentioned quite heavily. So coming to the next slide means that there are classification effects, and here with regard to the countries that we were focusing on. And we can see here, when we focus on Germany as an example, I can tell you that, 64% is amortized cost. That is quite interesting. Whereas in Italy, it is almost the same. You can see that here. It's also 63%, 62 exactly. And it is 77% in Spain. So that is something that is, I think, quite remarkable, that this amortized cost category is really of very, very high. And in France, again, it is roughly 61% of the cases that we can see here at amortized cost. Well, the classification of equity instruments, to say that, where did they classify the equity instruments like shares or so? And we could see that Germany, 90% went to the fair value through profit or loss, and only 10% to fair value through OCI. In Spain, that was roughly 50 to 50%. So they made quite use of the equity, new equity category. And in France, it was also close to 90% going to the fair value through profit or loss category, and only a little bit more than 10% then to fair value through OCI. And in Italy, it was vice versa. Interestingly, in Italy, it was just 30% going to the fair value through profit or loss category, whereas 70% went to the fair value through OCI category. So that is a little bit the classification per country. And we also focus a little bit on the credit rating approach. And we distinguish this internal rating based approach and the mainly IRB approach, mixed approach. And we could see that mainly standardized approach was not given at all in terms of our range of the usage of the IRB A-rated asset. But the standardized approach and the mainly IRB A approach was quite heavily used in the sample. So when we come then to the categories and the credit rating model, we can see here, interesting, I'm also focusing again on the amortized cost category here. We can see it's roughly 74% being distributed to amortized cost when it comes to the internal ratings-based approach, compared to the mainly IRBA, then we have around about 63% here. We can also see on the slide that here the fair value option And the fair value through OCI with regard to the equity instruments is almost not used at all. Yeah, and the same is true for the mainly IRBA category, almost not used, and we can conclude something out of that as well. And coming to the next slide, and you can see here also around about 70%. So the percent, where 63%, and here 69%. But then it comes to the standardized approach, and the standardized approach goes in line here very much with amortized cost. Now, this is some finding that is quite interesting. And again, you can see here there is almost no usage of the two categories, fair value option or fair value through OCI regarding equity instruments. Whereas in the mixed model, if I can say so, rating, credit rating model, I have to say, it is used, but it is not very much used. So the fair value through OCI category regarding equity is almost not used at all. So that was what I found, or what we found out here. And then some, I would say, impairment effects. And the impairment effects, we have to see that you can see here, that was the old categorization with regard to impairment, may I say, stages. We call it here performing and non-performing to make it a little bit shorter. In reality, it was this individual impairment, which is non-performing, and this is portfolio impairment, because you probably know that also under IR39 already there was the necessity to build a portfolio impairment. It was not based on just this individual impairment. Right? And we can see also that there was a movement, and this is exactly the same date. It was the 31st of December and the 1st of January. So it's exactly the same composition of financial instruments. And they went to different stages, and we can see that stage one was affected by 88.8%, whereas you can see here stage two, which was pretty new. Well, we can see from a conceptual point of view, that was really the very, very new stage that was introduced. The other stages were adjusted, and the idea was a little bit different in the past, but this is really interesting that it was just used about roughly 7% of the investments were in stage two. And it came partly, you can see here, from that stage of this individual impairment, partly went here, and partly also from the portfolio impairment. And then we can also see here that this individual impairment, which is now stage three, is only 4% of the cases, and the POCI investment, so meaning those have been purchased or originated and already being credit impaired at that moment in time, it did not play a role at all. And then there is a movement to year end, and you can see there is even a deterioration in POCI investments, and slight changes in the other stages. So coming to the next point here is that this volume of loans and bonds per year end 2017 and 2018 at year end is in millions euro, by the way. And we do see a reduction, and the reduction is roughly 9% of the volume. And that plays a major role later on. And we can also see here that there was a reduction of loan loss when we compare year end by year end. You can see here that is 2017 figures and 2018 figures. So where does it come from? Well, potential reasons, which we've taken partly from reports, not all of them disclose it very openly. And first of all, there is a reduction, and the reduction of total loans and bonds by 9%. I'll show that in the previous slide. And then stage two, where we come from the 12-month loss to the loss period until maturity. Well, it consists only of 6.3 to 6.9% of the loan portfolio. Some downturn factors were mentioned in some of the reports, and for sure it was a better economic outlook that was mentioned in many, many of the reports, specifically also in Greece, but also in Italian institutes. Unfortunately, only 61 institutions from our setting of 78 institutions disclose that information in a way that we could say this is consistent and we can compare figure to figure, and so to standardize that information. But the loan loss reserves, they decreased. It really decreased by 36% for the Italian institutions. So there was a huge movement, specifically in Italy. And it also was reduced a little bit by French institutions and by Spanish institutions. But it increased a little bit for German institutions. Well, then the aggregate of loan loss reserves with regards to credit rating models, again, you can see here, there is not much of a difference. There is a difference, but it's not so much. And the difference here is also relatively small. But the huge differences come from these mainly IRB approaches and these kind of mixed approaches. So the majority of that could be explained by this. And here, this is also again in million euro at year end. So coming then to the part of the CET1 and the equity effects in the comparison year end 2017. Well, Just to say, the first thing is, well, these numbers here, when we look upon the numbers, now the mainly IRB means exactly 45.5 basis points. So that is in basis points. In average, we do have 30 basis points on average, and we can see here that the average would be round about here. Yeah, and we can see there's a major effect specifically to these two kinds of credit rating models with regard to the CET. Yeah, and here, so the core capital construction, whereas we can see here there is not so much of a difference. We could also see that roughly 70% of the banks had really a negative effect here. And the effect was 47 a reduction between 0 and 50%. So that is in line with what we can see here. The range is quite huge. You can see the range is, we had a positive effect by Dexia by 504 basis points. The highest negative effect in that respect is more than 370 basis points for the National Bank of Greece. On the right-hand side, we can see that there is the classification and impairment influence on equity. But you can see also that the range here, from here and here, is a very, very small range. Yeah, you see, it is from minus 0.08% to plus 0.06%. So it is a very, very small range. Also, this range is even up to 0.60%. So when we can see that, That is quite. I would like to highlight that a little bit. The breakdown into these two different effects will come on slide 18 in a minute. But it's all I have to say, please be careful here. It is percentage and it is not volume here. So what we can see here, this is volume. This is in millions euro, and this is the effect that the classification and the measurement, classification and measurement on one side, and impairment on the other side, had on equity, so book equity. Now we can see that the effect was not so huge, but there were some of them were really out of the typical range. Yeah, and again, here I have to say, due to maybe a little bit the lack of the disclosure, the proper disclosure, we were not able to see the effect, the combination of the effect exactly by all of the banks. So the setting here is also a bit reduced to the former setting. And then the equity effects, yeah, the equity effects according to the credit rating model. And I'd like to, while you're looking upon that slide here, might remind you that there was an effect from country to country, that Germany had the most prominent effect with a plus of 1.7% coming from that classification and measurement. And you might be aware of that the classification changes are there. You could also come from, for example, amortized costs to fair value. And when the fair value is higher, then there might be also a positive effect on equity. France plus 0.6, Spain nearly no change by plus 0.1, and Italy had a negative effect. So from the country specifics, Italy was the only country showing a negative effect coming from the reclassification or classification, new classification and measurement. So that effect was driven by reclassifications only. And here we see the impairment effect also, just impairment effect. And there is an increase in the loan loss reserves coming from the impairment. Here we do see the percentages, whereas we've seen beforehand basis points. So we are here in percentages, and to also give you to remember the country effect that was here was Germany with minus 1.2, France with minus 2. So Germany was quite close to what we see now. France with minus 2%, Spain with minus 2.1%, and Italy again. Then is a little bit, may I say, outstanding here with minus 11.5%. When we could also see that there was a decrease of loan loss reserves by roughly 23%, which on the other hand means that 77% showed an increase. Yeah, and we can see here from the slide that mainly IRB driving that factor, but also the standardized approach. Whereas the IRB approach, which is coming from the bank activity and the regulatory environment and the calculation of that is very often because they use these internal rating models. So these models have been already relatively close to what was expected to be used by the IASB within IFRS 9. So turning a little bit more to the country composition, as I said before, more four specific countries, Germany, and there are 12 institutions, Spain 11, France 8, and Italy was 7. So, they all make up 38 out of 78 credit institutions. So quite interesting to focus on that. So what we can see here on that slide is that there is a negative CET1 country effect. Italy here outstanding again with minus 161 basis points. And we can see here on the other end of the line, this is France. France with just 10.2 basis points. And we do have here Germany, with minus 23.8 basis points, and Spain here with minus 36 basis points. I would say we should be aware of the combination also of the credit rating model that is used, and the Italian institutes. 86% of them were using
this. You have 5 minutes.
Yeah, I will be ready earlier.
Great,
thank you so much. And the Italian institutes, they apply the mixed credit rating model, or mainly the IRB model. So I come to that slide. We can see here that there is a classification and measurement effect on equity now here, and also the impairment effect on equity. And I have to say that in average, I would say the CET effect was 24%, 30 from Germany, from Spain, 36%. From France, plus 10.2, and Italy minus 161. Just referring to the slide before, that was the previous slide that we've seen, so that you have an impression on the comparison here with regard to the classification and measurement impact here. So, and then coming to my last slide already, and the last slide should just illustrate that there is a strong deviation in the effects of the different banks. And here specifically, four banks, and there were three from Greece and one from Italy, they lost slightly more than 1/5 of their equity due to the impairment effects and the high shares of stage two and stage three. So when we refer back to Greece and to Italy and to the economic conditions being there, now we can imagine that there is a linkage between the economic environment and stage three and stage two here. So that was it from that point of view. The last slide is dealing with areas of current research. Just briefly going through that, and it is, there was a huge discussion coming from the European politicians asking for, does IFRS 9 prevent companies doing long-term investments anymore? So we went then in a different setting, went back to 2014 when the standard was introduced officially, and we can see that there is no really decrease in long-term investments. It is a slight increase what we have seen, but it was a very small sample at the beginning. It would continue with that. And then the usage of the category fair value through OCI for equity instruments, and also the anticipated changes in business activity. And we could see here in the presentation that banks hardly use the equity instruments. And the first research indicates that there is no reduction in investments in equity. And then another kind of what we are focusing now is the development under COVID-19, specifically, first of all, the disclosure part. How did they disclose? Quite interesting in Q1, Q2, and then Q3, which will come soon. Is there also a stage transfer? So how quickly does the standard respond to the current environment? Thank you very much for your attention, and I'm happy to receive questions later.